Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace. I'm a visual person, visual learner, hands-on type of thing. And so I want to do something a little different for my opening illustration this morning. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to envision the story that I'm going to tell you. And I want you to see it through your mind's eye and through your imagination. A man was sleeping at night in his cabin when suddenly his room was filled with light and God appeared. The Lord told the man he had work for him to do and showed him a large rock in front of his cabin. The Lord explained that the man was to push against the rock with all his might. And so the man did, day after day. For many years he toiled from sun up to sun down, his shoulders set squarely against the cold, massive surface of the unmoving rock, pushing with all of his might. Each night the man returned to his cabin, sore and worn out, feeling that his whole day had been spent in vain. Since the man was showing discouragement, the adversary, or Satan, decided to enter the picture by placing thoughts into the man's weary mind. You've been pushing against that rock for a long time, and it hasn't moved. Thus giving the man the impression that the task was impossible and that he was a failure. These thoughts discouraged and disheartened the man. Why kill myself over this, he thought. I'll just put in my time giving the minimal effort and that'll be good enough. And that is what he planned to do until he decided to make it a matter of prayer and take his troubled thoughts to the Lord. Lord, he said, I have labored long and hard in your service, putting all my strength to do that which you have asked. Yet after all this time, I have not even budged that rock by half a millimeter. What is wrong? Why am I failing? The Lord responded compassionately. My friend, when I asked you to serve me and you accepted, I told you that your task was to push against the rock with all your strength, which you have done. Never once did I mention to you that I expected you to move it. Your task was to push. And now you have come to me with your strength spent, thinking that you have failed. But is that really so? Look at yourself. Your arms are strong and muscled, your back is sinewy and brown, your hands are calloused from constant pressure, your legs have become massive and hard. Through opposition, you have grown much, and your abilities now surpass that which you used to have. Yet you haven't moved the rock. But your calling was to faithfulness. I asked you to push, exercise your faith, and trust in my wisdom. This you have done. Now I, my friend, will move the rock. When I read that story, it kind of grips me a little bit. Because I think in reality we all can feel that way from time to time. God has given you a huge boulder to push, and at times you just feel discouraged and want to fall back to minimal effort. At times when we hear a word from God, we tend to use our own intellect to decipher exactly what God is saying and what God actually wants. And when it comes to apologetics and defending the gospel, it is just a simple act of obedience that we are in reality called to faithfulness. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time of teaching and learning, because we learn from you, for your teaching is from your word. We know that your word is truth. And so, Father, illuminate that truth this morning to encourage us in the time that we have, reminding us of our task, our part of your great plan, so that you may do what you desire to do in us and through us. We ask your blessing, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And in doing so, if you didn't bring a Bible, there are chair Bibles in front of you, page 166. I was thinking, James, just how many pages with giant print is Ecclesiastes in my Bible? It's like a zillion. All summed up in one verse. Paul is writing to his beloved Timothy and trying to encourage him in Timothy's effort to teach the people in Ephesus. Not an easy thing with a lot of cultic activity going on and people resisting God. In fact, scholars believe and feel that this verse is the key verse to the entire epistle that Paul is writing, 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Ever heard of the program Awana? A lot of Baptist churches, E-Free churches, many churches adopt this. It's not Iwana. It stands for Approved Workers Are Not Ashamed. And its goal is teaching through physical activity, through Bible learning, through different activities to build up children to be approved workers. I often tell people we're not to raise children. We are to raise adults. Because when you raise a child, they will remain a child forever. Just ask my mom. Yeah. Oops. I work at it, though. I'm trying to get past that. The goal is to raise up approved workers. In the Christian faith, the goal of instruction is to raise up disciples, ones who follow Christ, training them for the tasks ahead. The road is narrow, and it's not an easy task. It's not easy to navigate a narrow road. Accurately handling the word of truth means to cut straight. Literally to cut straight, not wavering of communicating the truth. Sometimes we waver. My wife, I don't want to hurt people's feelings. I don't want my feelings hurt. You know, and so sometimes I temper a little bit, you know, where sometimes I need to just sometimes say it. You know, I got to say truth and love because that's the only, you know, they're not really going to hear it unless you really get to the heart of it. And don't dance around it sometimes. Sometimes we need to be true and say, and I've done it, said, you know what, you're walking disobedience. I tell you, when you do that, you had better, you know, look at yourself pretty carefully too, because that's where hypocritical thoughts come into play when, well, look at you, and that you could open the floodgates. But we had to cut straight to what it means to stop beating around the bush. God says that Christ is the only way to heaven, the only way to the Father, and we cannot be making that, well, just accepting all ways when God's truth is there right before us. There is a time for kids' gloves, for gentleness, and there's a time to be truthful and to cut straight to the truth. In our continuation of a apologetic, mindful messages, I'd like for us to consider that a disciple is called to faithfulness and to focus on three areas. In first area, a disciple is called to be faithful in instruction. We talked about this a couple weeks ago that, you know, the whole idea of why we come to a worship service, why we come to gathering on Sunday mornings or Sunday nights, why there's a bulletin, why there's an outline with blanks. And when you engage yourself in the message, when you fill in those blanks, it helps to activate your mind to what God is doing, what he desires to do. We have to be faithful to instruction. Right after the verse 15, verses 16 and 17 of 2 Timothy 3, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The word of God is not there to make us feel comfortable. The word of God is there to instruct us in this world because Satan wants nothing more than have you be comfortable. Because when we're comfortable, what do? We coast. Yeah, it's feeling pretty good. You know, take away the cell phone, take away the computer, take away the sliding door in the car. You know, it's like, wow, this is a very busy week. You know, caveat to that whole process, though. The door fell off when I was in the rain emptying out the storage unit. And I was closing the door, and it goes, doom. Really? Now? In the rain? Thinking, like, how am I going to get this up, you know? And I got it in. I got it set to the side, and I locked the door, and I made a trip. I didn't use that side of the door. Dropped stuff off, came back, filled again, dropped it off, came back again, filled it in. The next day, took it to the garage, and what happens? I pulled in, fell off again. Now, I don't take that as coincidence. You know, I'm sorry, distraction. You know, we have to be instructed because we have to be equipped for every good work. Because why? Satan wants to take our eyes off from that good work. He wants to place it on ourselves. He wants us to think, "Oh, woe is me." You know, I'm sure it's more annoying for everybody else for me not to have a cell phone than it is for me. You know, I haven't missed one phone call in the last 3 weeks. Ignorance is bliss, and I'm just really blissful. You know, I told you about my aunt 2 weeks ago, and she said, I'm not calling you ever again. I called you 4 or 5 times this week. You never call me back. I said, because I don't have a cell phone. It's gone. History. Instruction is important. The Word of God is useful. It's practical and applicable. It is useful, it's practical, and it's applicable. It is for our lives. It's not for, wow, that's a great old story. Solomon's wise, but you know what? He started good, finished weak. 660-some wives, you know, and stuff, and concubines, not a wise move. Guys, we know it's sometimes just hard to please one wife. You know, why would you want to have that many? I mean, no, he didn't finish strong. And then but that's what the wisdom literature is about, because in the end he talked about that too. You know? And it's given for us for our instruction to learn. My purpose is not just to tell Bible stories or to funny jokes to make you feel better about yourselves, nor is it to beat you down so you feel less about yourself or myself. And because we know that we're inadequate, only Christ is adequate. Our job is to teach. To teach, and it is Scripture that teaches, that reproofs, that corrects, and that trains, so that you and I might be equipped for the works that God has for us. Because I tell you that God wants so much more for us, but Satan wants so much less for us. And the way it's less is to get eyes upon ourselves and off from God. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians 4, 11 through 14, these words. He says, he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and the craftiness of in deceitful scheming. According to what Paul says, my job, Pastor Roland's job, the leaders in this church, is to train you for works of service. Why? It's building up the body of Christ. If there's no challenge in your life according to God's word, where's the growth? Where's the growth? Where's the growth personally that you know that you are different this week than you were last week, different this year than you were last year? Our job is not to tear you down, it's to build you up so that God may use this body for a purpose. And if we're not into doing that, then why are we here? We're not scoring points. We're called to get stronger. And until we all attain the unity of the faith, we're called to one-mindedness. And that's not my mind. You know, it's God's mind. It's the mind of Christ that we're to gather into. What does God want from us? What is Christ trying to teach us? And we're going to discover through this word. And it will be in harmony to the knowledge of God, to a mature. Our goal is maturity in the body of Christ. So if we're that way, then we're not tossed about by the trickery and the craftiness of man. We won't fall to the schemes of things that try to alter and detour us from true faith. There are cults out there that use the name Jesus Christ, but they're not of Jesus Christ. Just because the name is in there does not mean that it is true faith, does not mean it's true teaching. What do they say about the Son? Where do they place the Son? In Acts 2:42, the believers were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. When you read that, they were doing that daily, every day, because they were so excited after Pentecost when God added over 3,000 to the... That was church growth, I'll tell you. Man, 3,000 in one day, woo! And they're daily meeting together because they're just so excited what God was doing. Being instructed so that you can accurately use and defend the Word of God, it takes time. I will tell you truthfully, my thoughts that before entering seminary said, I'm never going to get any of this. I don't think I'm going to ever know anything, you know, because I based it upon my level of intelligence rather than what God was going to place before me. I love to encourage people. I didn't even know what apologetics was when I went to seminary. You know, Master of Arts in Theological Studies with a focus on apologetics. I'm sorry. That's apology, right? I'm sorry. Knowing how to say I'm sorry in 7 different theological languages. It's amazing when you open yourself to what God wants to do, what he'll teach you, what he'll fill you with and pump into you. But it takes time, but it takes effort as well. It takes time to first receive. You got to receive in. I don't know why church growth takes so much time. I don't know why people are not excited and then go out and tell other people to get excited and then just, you know, it just, it. You tell 2 people and they tell 2 people and they tell, you've seen those commercials, the picture keeps splitting. It's not going to come from me, people. It's not going to come from Pastor Roland or Pastor James. It's got to come from all of us. Talking, teaching, sharing. It takes time to grow in Christ and to grow in knowledge, but it takes effort, too, that you have to be able to receive that. I pray with all my heart that all the Bible knowledge you get during the week is not just here on Sunday morning or on Sunday night. That is not good. There are so many things that distract us of a time, but we have to make the time to receive in and to keep pouring in what God wants to do. Take the people, and after the missionary journey of Paul off Thessalonica, they went to Berea. In Acts 17, verse 11, tells about the people in Berea. It says this, "Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." After a Sunday teaching, these Bereans would go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. No, they didn't. It didn't exist. They would go to Genesis, and they would go to Isaiah. They would go to Proverbs and the book of Psalms to examine the scriptures to see if what they were being taught was true. How often do you take the notes and then look them up a little bit more to see if what I was saying was accurate? I don't claim all knowledge. I'll make my best effort, but you know there are times that we can slip up. Not intentionally. I'm not going to deceive you on purpose. It takes time then, once receiving, to implement. John 8:31, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine." This is a third-class condition in the Greek, which means if this is true, this will prove to be true. If you continue in my word. That means time. That means receiving it, implementing it, and continuing on with it in your life. Then you will prove be disciples of mine. People can sometimes have a great flash beginning and wow, I'm so pumped up, and about 2 weeks, Finding Bigfoot is on to this morning. I've got to watch that instead because one day they're going to find him. I don't want to miss that. And they taper off. If you continue on, then you prove to be disciples. Not one glorious stand of confidence or of affection for Christ, but that's continuing on, even though you know, the cell phone dies, the sliding door falls off, and the computer goes again. Continue on. I thought, man, I must be doing something right. I'm not that bad. You know, I'm not that, I mean, I won't, people have not avoided me too badly, you know. But I tell you, Satan, you know, for those who were here last Sunday, Satan had my eyes off Christ last week, to starting off. Ended up great, though. By the end of the night, I was back to where God wanted me to be. But I was distracted, and I was feeling down. People saw a visual difference. And maybe God used me as a tool, that they can see a difference than how I am this week. My eyes got back on Christ. Those are just things. Disappointing some, yes. Irritating in the rain, yeah. But will it get it off my focus on Christ and his answer? No, it will not. Secondly, we're called to be faithful in how we live our lives. John 10:27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will ever snatch them. No one will snatch them out of my hand." I don't want to add words that are not there. No one will snatch them out of my hand. I believe that once you are sealed by the Holy Spirit, you're sealed. And Christ will not release you. I think you can grieve the Holy Spirit. I think you can do things that are non-Christian and ugly. I think there are consequences for those things that God has, Scripture says, but I don't believe that my power to, I can't release myself out of God's power. So isn't it better that I work cooperatively with Christ and what he wants to do in my life than try to work against him and make that profession that I had questionable? Only God can determine salvation. You and I can't. Only God can usher you into the kingdom of heaven. I can't do that. But Christ can. Romans 15:4, whatever is written in earlier times was written for our instruction so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. You feel down sometimes, start reading the book of Psalms. You want to feel a little challenge in the intelligence area, start reading the book of Proverbs, the wisdom literature. The Greek word for encouragement is paraklesis, which comes from the root word paraklete, which means to come alongside, literally to wrap an arm alongside somebody. But here, the word encouragement from that root means calling to one's aid. An effectual call to one's aid. The scriptures, if we are faithful in our reading, comes alongside us to help us endure if we hold to its teaching. If we choose to go against what God's word says, we know there are consequences. We can't say what is good when God says is evil. We can't say what evil, which God says is good. We have to get it right the first time with what he says, not what we think. There's a lot of opinion out there, and in churches as well, which is not true. If you want to find the truth, be a Berean and examine the scriptures, see what it says. A lot of traditions that we say you shouldn't do this, shouldn't do this, shouldn't do this, shouldn't do this, are not found in the Word of God, nor are they indicated in the Word of God. But man does it because it sounds Christian. Yeah. It's binding. It's legalistic. Nor are we to have just whatever happens okay because God is love and God loves me, so I can do whatever I want. I'm the golden child. Maybe a little tarnished. We have to understand that how we live our lives is important. Then when we do this, we have hope because it illuminates our walk. Scripture illuminates our walk. Psalm 1:1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. There are certain attitudes the psalmist wrote that we need to avoid. Wicked people, you know, bad people. Don't hang out with them. A lot of times, you know, we think, well, I'm going to help those people. Bad morals corrupt good morals more often. We have to be very careful with that. The path of sinners, nor seat in the scoffers. People are just like, are just down on everything. Boy, I love being around those people. They just build me up. Scoff, 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 scoff. I need a nap at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But his delight, the person's delight, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Now, I find a lot of times when I'm going through these challenges of technological stuff, man, I'm just singing songs in my head, sometimes out loud, you know. I love doing that because I want to refocus my mind. I don't want to think about the things, you know, how I'm going to get to the mechanic in the next 2 days and get the door fixed. Hey, praise God, I found the part for $100 less than they did. And they'll put it on because I beg and cry. Hard to see a grown man cry. Verse 3, he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. Why? Because he delights in the Lord. God will not bless spoiled children. You know, if you want a spoiled child, just give them whatever they want, when they want, you know, down whatever aisle they want. You know, they know how to do it. They have classes in this when they're about 2 years of age. Secretly at nighttime when we're sleeping, they gather together in the corner. Okay, if you just do this, scream at the top of the lungs like you're just like got a knife, they'll get you anything. Candy, toys. They'll even open the box right there in the store before they pay for it just to get you to be quiet. It's a club. And then about 8-6, we forget, you know. But if you write it down, you can remember later on. It illuminates our... I'm in a weird mood today. I'm sorry. Our walk is illuminated by God's word, which is truth. Scripture provides for us daily guidance. Daily guidance. People, it is, I tell you, even as a pastor, it's hard to get in the Word on a daily basis. I'll just be honest with you. There are so many things that grab attention and time that it's hard to do, but it's so important. Keep a log. You know, keep, you know, get one of the read through the Bible in a year thing and highlight it. You know, you'll be embarrassed that you see the dates. You know, it's been a week since you've read. Not that you haven't been in the Word, but for your own personal growth and building up, you need to do that. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Remember the word that we talked about in the beginning, to handle the Word accurately, to cut straight? I tell you, when you invest yourself in God, when you trust in Him, all those little curves of whatever it might be don't matter, because God's going to make it straight for you. Psalm 119, 9 through 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. We can sin against people who will never know, but God always knows when we screw up and we mess up. Because Scripture illuminates our walk, providing daily guidance, we find ourselves building upon a firm foundation. Solomon wrote advice to his son in Proverbs 7:2, keep my commandments and live, and my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablets of your heart. On the tablet of your heart. He's not dispensing earthly wisdom, but godly wisdom to keep the Scripture before you, in your heart and your mind before you at all times. Lastly, a disciple is called to be faithful in evangelism. Our key verse from our study in 1 Peter. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is within you, yet with gentleness and reverence. We're not responsible for the results of the message, but in our faithfulness, we are to pass along the message. Every person that claims Christ as Lord and Savior has a testimony, and that testimony is unique and different to you. You can't share my testimony. You can't live my testimony. I can't live yours because it's different, but it all centers in on Christ's sacrificing work at the cross. We need to pass along the message, but it's not easy. Ezekiel, in chapter 2, verse 4, God said to him, I am sending you to them who are stubborn and obstinate children, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God. We watched this movie last night, Luann and I, called Amazing Love. And it's about Sean Astin's in it. And actually his mom, Patty Duke, makes an appearance. And it's about Hosea. You know, amazing story about Hosea. I think we'll show it on a Friday night here soon. He had to speak God's word even though it wasn't popular. You have to speak God's truth and let it be God's truth. Not to hammer somebody, but to reveal truth, so that if they're encouraged or if they're corrected, the focus goes back in on God. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20. It says, now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We have to be right with God before we can call other people to be right with God. And God will use our lives as a teaching tool, either to draw them in or to push them away. And if we're not accurately reconciled with God, faithfully putting him first, people are going to see that. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God has not come back because he wants to take everyone with us. He wants that they would go home and live with him forever. But it's our responsibility to share that. Faithful evangelism is centered in his word. Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. There's a reoccurring thought here, people. 1 Peter 1:23, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. The main thing is keep the main thing the main thing. If we don't keep the main thing, then people, it won't do a whole lot. But keeping Christ first, God first will. Couple closing thoughts for you. Donald Wildman said this, at the very heart of the Christian gospel is a cross, the symbol of suffering and sacrifice, of hurt and pain and humiliation and rejection. I want no part of the Christian message which does not call me to involvement, requires of me no sacrifice, takes from me no comfort, requires of me less than the best that I have to give. The duty of a Christian is to be faithful, not popular or successful. In order to defend the gospel of Christ, we need to be faithful in instruction, in how we live our lives, and faithful in evangelism. 2 Timothy 2:15, our verse today, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. That's not just pastor's call. That's all of our call if we call Christ Lord. Today, renew your desire to be faithful in all that the Lord puts before you, even if it seems like it's just pushing a rock. Desire in your heart to hear those commendable words of Christ. Well done, good and faithful slave. Enter into the joy of your master. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the power that it holds. And we thank you that you are the center and focus of all that takes place, not only here in this church, but in our very lives. Father, illuminate the path that we will walk in you. Remind us daily of our decisions that we need to involve you. And Father, may you bless us too. Bless us with a relationship that not only brings you glory, but brings people to Christ. Help us be faithful, Father, in this week we ask. In Christ's name, amen.
Every soul belongs to every heart we hold to teach, everywhere we share His peace is only by His grace. Every loving word we say, every tear we wipe away, every sorrow turn to praise, is only by His grace. Praise the Lord, which God supplies, strength alone He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone.
Grace alone.
Grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown, He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. We will go forth in grace alone.
Father, help us to go walking in your grace, that we might extend it to all that we need this week. Father, love us dear. And all God's people said, amen. Have a blessed week.
Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us, and we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.